everyone, and welcome to our new series that we're going to be doing on God's final word. And what does that mean? What does that look like? This is something that I've been thinking about recently, and I think it's a really exciting way for us to view what God's doing, what is God's plan, what is our involvement in it, and really seeing it as an encouragement as we go on to reach those around us, to display what Jesus has done for us and through us. And so we're going to begin by reading Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 4, and I'll be reading from the NET version. So it says this: "After God spoke long ago in various portions and in various ways to our ancestors through the prophets, in these last days he has spoken to us in a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. The Son is the radiance of his glory and the representation of his essence, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. And so, when he had accomplished cleansing of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thus, he became so far better than the angels, as he has inherited a name superior to theirs." And here we see that there was a period of time where God's communication came through all these different ways. And when you read through the Old Testament, you see it's through prophets, it's through kings, it's through judges, it's through a various different method of things. But what this is telling us is when Jesus arrived, Jesus came as the final statement from God. Jesus comes as God's final word to the world, to everyone, that actually, if you need to know what I am, who I am, what I'm like, what I say, what I don't say, this is the person that you need to see all of this through. Jesus is the lens that we see it all through. And next we're going to look at Acts 17, verse 28 to 31, which hammers this home a little bit more. So it says this: "For in him we live and move about and exist. And even some of our own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. So since we are God's offspring, should we not think the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human skill and imagination? Therefore, although God has overlooked such times of ignorance, he now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day on which he is going to judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he designated, having provided proof to everyone by raising him from the dead." So again, here, it emphasizes the point that there was a certain element to which, before Christ, God allowed a certain level of ignorance, a certain level of idolatry, a certain level of searching for him in ways that were unclear. But now Jesus has come and represents God so clearly that God no longer takes into account the same things he did previously, because he says, "I have given a perfect representation of who I am." And not only that, he has come and he has lived righteously. He has come and lived my life out in the world. And therefore, the judgment is going to be to the standard that he lived. And not only has he come and lived this way and achieved these things, but I am also proving in his life, so in the different things, and we're going to delve further into that later, but more so in his death and resurrection, that is the proof that this person is my final word. And really, that is what Christianity hinges on. It all hinges on, did Jesus die and did he rise again? And if those two statements are true, then we have to take Jesus for who he revealed himself to be. We have to believe the things that Jesus believed. And so, as you can see, everything begins to work into each other if that statement is true. And so, In the rest of our sessions together, we're going to dive more into what does it mean that Jesus is God's final word. And we're really going to anchor it into the scripture that we read earlier in Hebrews 1. And so we're going to look at how Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, that he expresses the divinity, the majesty, the power of God, and reveals that among us here in the physical, that things that people can see, people can touch, people can feel. And then we're going to look at Jesus as a representation of God's essence, that actually Jesus comes and unveils, who is this God? Who is Yahweh? Who is this I am? What is he like? Because in the Old Testament, there were many people who longed to look at God. They longed to see his face. They longed to know him in an intimate, personal manner. And you can see a distance that is there between people's hopes and desires and the barrier of sin that was in the way. And there were certainly some people who had a really high level of relationship with God in the Old Testament. But when Jesus comes, he reveals what God's essence, what his character, what his personality is really like. And it's important then that since we have this unveiling, this revelation, that everything we see of God, we see through the lens of Jesus. And then we're going to look at the great accomplishment. We're going to look at what is this thing that separates Jesus above everyone, that even the angels have no name higher than his. And we're going to look at what involvement that has of us and how that leads us on into God's purpose and mission and our involvement in that. And then we're going to look more specifically at Jesus having the name that is above every name, that there is no higher name than his name, and what that reveals to us about God's incredible vision and also God's incredible character and quality. And one thing that I think that this is really important for us to have, this idea of Jesus being God's final word in our minds, is because firstly, it protects us from idolatry, because there is nothing new that's going to be generated after Jesus that is going to tell us more of who God is than what Jesus has revealed and gives to the church. Anything coming outside of Jesus is just for us to completely leave alone and know that it isn't the genuine article. If it can be found in Jesus, if it can be seen through him and in his apostles, then it's something that we can hold on to for ourselves and know that it's part of the plan of God. But if it's something that seems completely contrary to the person that Jesus showed himself to be, to how he reveals God to be, then we know that it is something man-made. As we read earlier, it might seem precious. It might look like silver and gold. It might look like things that should be treasured and things that should be honored. But if it's not Jesus, then it's not for us. And that is, I think, a really simple foundation that can carry you through the different ways that society changes and moves, is that actually that we have a really stable way of knowing, is this for me or is it not for me? And it's whether or not we can trace it into Jesus.
Thank you, Wana. You've been listening to Bible Focus. Join us at the same time tomorrow as we continue this series.